So let's look right now at this message. There are two kinds of wisdom. Do you have the kind that matters? There are two kinds of wisdom. Do you have the kind that matters? There's one that really matters. As you know, many of you know, over spring break, we had that privilege of experiencing Disney World. And there was a brochure that floated around our house for a long time before we ever experienced Disney World and got there. And all of us in the family, at one time or another, looked through that brochure and admired those pictures and read about different things that we could experience at Disney World. But just as there are two kinds of wisdom, there was really two kinds of wisdom with what we were experiencing. There was the wisdom found just through having a brochure about Disney. That was one kind of wisdom. And we had that for a while. We had that wisdom. We could learn all we could. We saw pictures. We saw what it would look like. We read about different things that they had. And we had the wisdom of a Disney brochure. But there was a much better kind of wisdom that we actually got to experience when we actually got in the car and drove and got there. There was the wisdom of the brochure of Disney, and then there was the wisdom of being at Disney World and going in with tickets to all the different theme parks and experiencing it all for a week. That was a whole different kind of wisdom. And the second kind of wisdom, the experience of Disney World, was a lot better, let me tell you, than the first kind of wisdom of having a brochure about Disney World. It's kind of similar with God. God lays it out here in what we're about to look at. If there are two kinds of wisdom in life. There's human wisdom and knowledge, and there's everything that you can understand here about the earth. And then there's God's wisdom. And the human wisdom is a lot like a Disney brochure. And God's wisdom is a lot greater even than being at Disney World for a week. It's so much better than the human wisdom. Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And God tells us about these two kinds of wisdom. Let's look at it together. If you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you in the chair. And if you'll open it up toward the end of the Bible, the last third of the Bible is the New Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You just keep on going. And then you'll see Romans, and you just keep going. And right after Romans, you'll see 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at these two kinds of wisdom. But let's pray before we read. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word, living, active, Lord. We thank you that it's more like a phone than a book, that you speak to us through it. Lord, right now we pray that as we read your word and as we look at it, and Lord, would you please get me out of the way? And Lord, as we hear your message, would you speak through me, Jesus? We need to hear from you. And let us hear your word. Lord, tell each of us here this morning what you want us to hear, what you want us to receive, what you want us to take in. And then we know you say, don't ever just hear the word, but whatever you want us to take in and then do and carry it out to action. Lord, help us to do that today. Let us hear from you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen for these two kinds of wisdom as we read it together. 1 Corinthians 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come, and this is the Apostle Paul talking about as he came to these Corinthians, this Corinthian church, these Corinthian believers. That was a city, Corinth. But he's talking about as he came to them and shared this message, the Apostle Paul. But listen to what God says to you through it. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Did you notice the two different kinds of wisdom in there? The human wisdom and God's wisdom. Let's get into it a little bit. And the first thing we want to notice here is don't depend on human wisdom, but on God's power. Don't depend on human wisdom, but on God's power. We see that in those first five verses there. Look at it. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. He's saying, I didn't even come with human wisdom. You know, human wisdom can have a lot of eloquence and superior thought to it. But he said, I didn't even come that way. He wasn't dependent on even human wisdom. He said, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said he didn't come with any kind of human wisdom and great eloquence or anything. He just came knowing Jesus, and Jesus crucified. That's what he knew. He just came sharing that nice and simple. I know Jesus, and I know Him crucified. He didn't come with any human wisdom or anything like that. And then he goes on to expand on it a little more. After verse 2 and verse 3, he said, I came to you in weakness and fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. They weren't with human wisdom. No wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And we see it right there at the end, the last thing I just read. Why did he come in weak? He said, I was weak when I came to you. I was in weakness. And you ever feel like that? Maybe if God's calling you to do something or say something or teach something or say something to somebody or whatever, you ever feel weak? I can't do that. He said that's how, this is the Apostle Paul. We think a lot of the Apostle Paul, don't we? He said, I was weak. I felt weak. I came to you in weakness in verse 3. And fear. I was afraid. You ever afraid what God's telling you to do? I came in weakness and fear and with much trembling. I'm shaken. My message, and then he spoke. But my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. He didn't have any human eloquence or wisdom. He didn't have that human wisdom, wise words. I'm gonna choose the most crafty words to convince people. He didn't have anything but his weakness, his trembling, his fear. He didn't have any wise or persuasive words. Nothing really intelligent and crafty that he could say. But he did come with this. But he came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. He came with nothing. Human wisdom, your human strength and your human wisdom. Another word for it, God calls it the flesh. Your humanness, your human strength, your wisdom, the best you can do. It's not good. It doesn't cut it. And he didn't even come with that. The best that humans can offer, he didn't even come with that. He came in fear, weakness, and trembling. But he did come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. He came with Almighty God. He came with the Holy Spirit and the power of Almighty God through the Holy Spirit speaking through him. And therefore, everybody got to see the Spirit's power, and his humanness didn't get in the way. After his message, they didn't all say, the Apostle Paul, man, he is such an incredible man. Did you see how intelligent he is and all those words that he used? What was he even talking about? They didn't come away with that. No, they came away. Here was a man who's afraid and he's weak and he's trembling. Man, let God have the glory. It sure wasn't that man. It wasn't him. We just saw Almighty God. That was the Spirit's power. We saw the Spirit of God speaking through him. And then who gets the glory? God gets the glory. He came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Why? Why did he come that way in verse 5? So that their faith. Why do we need to come that way? Why do you and I need to come that way with nothing of our human effort and energy and human strength and wisdom and craftiness? And why do we need to come without all that? And why do we need to come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power whenever we come to do something in the name of the Lord? Why? So that whoever's listening, whoever's observing, whoever's seeing it, so that their faith might not rest on men's wisdom, the lesser wisdom that we're trying to get away from here, so that people's faith won't rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. On God's power. So, don't depend on human wisdom, but on God's power. Here's a nice little saying. And when I say don't depend on human wisdom, I'm talking about everything with our humanness. Don't depend on your flesh. Don't depend on your human wisdom or your human strength or energy or effort. Anything that's of you, don't depend on that. But depend on God's power. Depend on Him. Depend on Him doing it through you. And here's a great little saying that I heard somewhere. I don't know who said it. But it goes like this. Oftentimes, God does not call the equipped, but He equips the called. Think about that. Oftentimes, God does not call the equipped. In other words, He doesn't look at all your human wisdom and everything and just say, wow, you could do it. Because what? Then you wouldn't need Him, would you? God doesn't call people like that. You know, hey, you, I got a great work for you and you got the capabilities to do it. And I'm going to step away and watch you do something for me. God doesn't do that. He doesn't call the equipped, that you have everything you need to do it, and he says, you can do it. I'm going to stand back. No, God is completely involved in everything, and that's how he gets the glory. You would get the glory. God would say, good job, I'm proud of you. You did it. But no, what it is what happens is God equips the called. God calls you to do something like he did Moses. Go to Pharaoh and lead my people out of slavery. What? Pharaoh? I can't talk. I don't even speak good. What? Go to the king of all of Egypt and what are you talking about? No way. I could never do that. Yeah, God knew he couldn't do that. There's no way. But God would be with him. God knows you can't do anything he's calling you to do. Jesus said, he already told you, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. He knows you can't do it, but he calls you. He equips the called. He calls you, and then he equips you. He gives you his spirit, God's spirit, the spirit of God, the strength of God to do it in you and through you. So don't depend on human wisdom, but on God's power. Stop trying and start trusting. That's the sum up of that whole point. Everything we've just said so far, that's it in a nutshell. Stop trying and start trusting. That's how to live the Christian life. Next, he lays it out here. There are two kinds of wisdom. So don't depend on human wisdom, but on God's power. Next, there are two kinds of wisdom. We see it in verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. You see the two wisdoms there? We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. So there's a wisdom for the mature. Those who are mature in the Lord, those who come to the Lord, who have the Spirit of the Lord, there's a wisdom of God, a wisdom from God for you, for the mature. As you mature in the Lord, you discover this more and more. There's a wisdom from God, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. And there's your other kind of wisdom, the human wisdom, the wisdom of the world that any human can have, a human kind of wisdom. You see the two different kinds there. There are two kinds of wisdom. And remember, just like the Disney brochure. There's a brochure, there's that kind of wisdom, and then there's going to Disney World. There's that kind of wisdom. And that brings us to our next point. God's wisdom is supreme. God's wisdom is like better than going to Disney. We can't describe it. It's better than the experience of Disney World. It's off the charts. God's wisdom is supreme. So there are two kinds of wisdom, and God's wisdom is supreme. Look at verses 7 through 10. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. God's wisdom is supreme. And we notice a few things about God's wisdom right here in verses 7 through 10. It's not understood by human wisdom. Anybody can have human wisdom. You can get as much of that as you want. Just keep studying and learn the ways of the world. And you can get more and more human wisdom, but that'll never help you understand God's wisdom. You can have all the human wisdom in the world. It doesn't matter how wise a person is. It doesn't matter how much human wisdom you get. By this world's standards, you could have multiple doctorate degrees in theology and still be completely ignorant of God's wisdom. Have none of God's wisdom. Wait a minute, doctorate degrees in theology? Yeah. You can have all kinds of head knowledge all about the Bible and God's ways and Jesus and be a scholar and all the world's wisdoms. You could have doctorate degrees in everything, but have none of God's wisdom yet. Not even have touched it. Not even know it. Why? Because God's wisdom, if you want the supreme wisdom, God's wisdom is only understood by the Spirit. If you want God's wisdom, you have to have the Spirit. That's the only way you can understand God's wisdom, by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. It's understood by the Spirit. We see that in verse 10 and 11. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, and that makes sense to us, who among all the everybody here, every person here, who knows the thoughts of a person here, a person who is here, except that man's spirit or that woman's spirit within him? I could point to any one of you here. Nobody knows your thoughts right now except your spirit within you. And he uses that to share with us that in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God. No one knows the thoughts of Almighty God except the Spirit of God. His Spirit is the only one that knows the thoughts of God and His wisdom. It's only His Spirit. So, if His Spirit is the only one that knows the thoughts of God and the wisdom of God, that's why you can't have any of His wisdom unless you have His Spirit. If you get His Spirit within you, you'll have His thoughts, and His wisdom. His Spirit will be living in you. You'll have the Spirit of God. You'll have the thoughts of God, the mind of Christ. But you can't understand any of God's wisdom without the Spirit. And you have to receive the Spirit of God. You have to receive God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In verses 12 and 13, we see that. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit with a capital S. That's God's Spirit that can let you know His thoughts and His wisdom, the wisdom of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. And so if you want to understand God's wisdom, if you want God's wisdom, you have to have His Spirit. That's the only way you have it. You have to have His Spirit. How do you have His Spirit? How do you get His Spirit? You become a believer. That's what it means when you're born again. Your Spirit, Jesus talked about it. Read John chapter 3 and you'll see it. Jesus talks all about it there, that when you repent of your sins, you acknowledge your sinfulness and you realize that Jesus paid for all your sins. And He took your punishment and He's raised from the dead, and you believe in who He is. He's the Son of God and He's God in the flesh. And when you repent, you turn from yourself and your ways and your sinfulness and you say, I need You. Save me, Jesus. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. I give my life to You. I want to be Your follower. When that transaction takes place, God's Spirit, that's when you receive the Spirit. That's when you have the Spirit of God and He comes to live in you and dwell in you. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus said you become born again. Jesus said your spirit, which was dead, your spirit was dead because of trespasses and sins. And God's Spirit comes in and He gives birth to your spirit. And He gives you His Spirit. And then you have a new heart. And a new life, and you're a new creation. And then you have His Spirit. Then you can have the wisdom of God. That's why the hymn writer said, I was blind, but now I see. What happened? The Spirit came into him. He didn't have any of God's wisdom, but when he repented and he believed, the Spirit came in him, and he said, now I see. That's what God's talking about when He says the veil is lifted for those who believe. And now you can have God's wisdom. Now you can see truth and the true wisdom. And so God's wisdom cannot, that our next point is, God's wisdom cannot be understood by the person without the Spirit. And that's what we see it again in 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You ever notice how some unbelievers get all puffed up and because they have the wisdom of the world? And maybe they're a philosophy professor somewhere or something. They're an atheist. And they don't have any of God's wisdom. But they got a lot of the world's wisdom. You ever notice how they get puffed up? And then when Christians come into their classroom or whatever, you know, they think that it's foolishness. They think that what the Christians believe are foolishness. What does God say about that? The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. What's going on in that classroom is the professor is completely ignorant of spiritual, God's wisdom. He has no idea. Until one of those believers shares with that professor the good news that he needs to repent and believe, and then he will understand. Then he will have God's wisdom and not the lower, lesser wisdom of human wisdom. Those who have received the Spirit have the mind of Christ. That's our final point. Those who have received the Spirit have the mind of Christ. Who knows the mind of God? Only God's Spirit. Who knows what you're thinking? Only your Spirit. Who knows the mind of God and what God is thinking and what God wants for you and God's will for you? Who knows that? God's Spirit, His Spirit. Do you have His Spirit? Then you have the mind of Christ. If His Spirit is in you, you have the mind of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we just come to you. And Lord, I'm sure there are some people in here today who do not have your Spirit. Lord, they're trying to understand the Bible, but it doesn't make any sense to them. They're trying to read it. They're trying to understand spiritual things and trying to understand what all these believers say around them and how you're changing people's lives. And they notice it and they see it. But, Lord, they don't have any of your wisdom because they don't have your Spirit. Lord, thank you that it's so simple. Thank you that any child here or adult, and thank you that you told us that we adults, that we need to change and become like little children. So, Lord, give us a faith like a child. And, Lord, if there's anybody here who has any doubt that they have the Spirit of God, that your Spirit lives in them. Lord, if there's someone here today who's saying, I don't know if I have the Spirit of God in me. I don't know if I have God's wisdom. Lord, help them to simply receive it. Help them to call out to you and say, well, Lord, I don't know and I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. So I admit to you I'm a sinner. I know that. I have sinned against you. And I believe the awful penalty that your word points out, that I'm destined for hell, eternal separation from you. But I also believe that in your word you said that you came for me. That Jesus, you were God in the flesh and you came and you took all of my sins, everything I'll ever do wrong and ever have done wrong, and you took it all to the cross. And the wages of sin is death. I was supposed to get the death penalty in hell, but Lord, you took my punishment. I believe you did that. I believe you died on that cross and you paid for all of my sins. You experienced that death in hell I'm supposed to get. And Lord, I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day after you paid for all my sins. And so I simply call to you and I say, Jesus, save me from my sins. Come into my life. I believe in you. I trust in you to save me from all my sins and to come into my life, to give me your Spirit. I invite you in and I say, I want to be your follower. Come into my life. Save me. I repent. I turn to you. I give you my life. All that I am, I give to you. I'm yours. Lord, I thank you that anybody who prayed that sincerely, Lord, that you came in, that now they have the Spirit. Now they have the mind of Christ. Now they can have your wisdom. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, help us to do Proverbs 4. Anybody in here who already knows they have the Spirit, we have access to your wisdom. Let us do Proverbs 4 and get wisdom. get understanding. Though it cost us all we have, Lord, may we not live a moment in foolishness, not understanding your will. May we always get wisdom. Get your wisdom. Ask you for wisdom. Seek your wisdom. And live it out. Help us, Jesus. Pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, Chris is going to lead us in a song. This is the invitation time. This is a time for whatever God has done in your heart and life, whatever he's speaking to you, whatever he's telling you. This is a time for you to act on it. Not to just hear the word and what's happened, but to do it. And so if you received the Spirit here this morning and you just prayed that prayer sincerely with me and you know in your heart you meant it with the Lord, then you have the Spirit now. He's in you. And you need to come and let that be known to before him and everybody. Make that public. So when Chris leads us in this song, step out of your seat. He'll give you the courage. Just pray. Remember, you can't come up here by yourself. Remember that first point? Not by your human effort. You can't come up here. Stop trying. Start trusting. Yeah, you don't have enough courage to come up here, but you pray and say, God, you just did that in my life. Give me your power to walk up there. He'll do it. Give me your strength. But when Chris leads us in this song, you come, you walk up here, and let us know that you received the Lord like that, and I will rejoice with you. If you're joining this church this morning, if you've realized this is God's confirmed it, God wants me here, this is my church, these are my people, this is where my fellowship, this is where he wants me. When Chris leads us in this song, you come and join this church. If there's something else you need to do, maybe God's speaking something else to your heart, and you need to obey him in some way, you do it. Do it. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and seek wisdom. Say, God, I need more wisdom. I need your wisdom about something, whatever. You can do that. But move as the Lord leads you. Whatever he's telling you in your spirit, you do that as Chris leads us in this song.